left off on Daf Yutesim at Aleph with the Abaya of Rav Ashi. The second Abaya of Rav Ashi. Goy Rav Ashi. Goy Rav Ashi. Koach kocho lesumchus kekocho dame olo. Sumchus holds that kocho is nezik shalem. So do we say that koach kocho, according to Sumchus, is also nezik shalem? Although, maybe koach kocho goes down to chatzi nezik. Mi gomir halacha umukile bekoach kocho. Does Sumchus also have a halacha moshe misinai, but he applies it to the world of koach kocho? Odilma lo gomir halacha ka. Or maybe he does not have such halacha Moshe Misinai at all. And then, you know, it's pashas of the Gemara would be that koach kocho would remain on the level of nezek shalem teku. The pashas of the Gemara is that we have over here a question of fact. You know, it's that Rav Ashi was wondering whether Sumchus had a masoret. Whether he also had a tradition that there is a halacha Moshe Misinai, that something within regel goes down to, has a din of chatzi nezek. The only difference between Sumchus and Rabbanan is the Rabbanan apply that to the world of kocho, and Sumchus says, no, kocho kegufo, that's a din b'chol Torah kula. That's not going to be impacted by the halacha Moshe Misinai. Halacha Moshe Misinai is on the case of koach kocho. Again, that's what it appears. Mi gomir, it's a question, it's purely a question of effect, whether he had such a masoret or didn't have such a masoret. However, yitachein, and this is the way the Rosh understood, that there's something much deeper in the Gemara, and that is, what is the option of saying, O Dilma lo gomir halacha klal. What would be, if Sumchus did not have a tradition, then what would be the default position of koach kocho?
Nezek shalem.
And again, gufo is nezek shalem, kocho kegufo is nezek shalem. Without any halacha Moshe Misinai, can there the koach kocho also is nezek shalem. That is the way that one of the Rishonim takes for granted, but what other option is there? That it would be pater altogether. Namely, that you can have a question, if, in other words, if lo gomir, assuming that Sumchus does not have any tradition one way or another, so one could say that koach kocho would be like kocho, and worry to have had a tradition, they would pull the koach kocho down to chatzi nezek. Or maybe without a tradition, Sumchus would have said that koach kocho is patur, and that the tradition would raise it up to chatzi nezek. Namely, that the two sides in the Gemara are not chatzi nezek or nezek shalem, but chatzi nezek or patur. This is what the Rosh relates to. Let's look at the Rosh. The Rosh takes one side for granted, but he is well aware that there are Rishonim who understood the other side. Look into the Rosh in Siman Beis, in Perek Beis, on our sugya. Boi Rav Ashi, koach kocho lesumchus kekocho dame, Rav Alfazal lo hevi hach ba'aya, clearly. Mishum, the lesumchus mi boile, the lesilchasa kavase. Velinira, that the Rish should have brought it because we could have learned out something for the world of Rabbana. Linira dieshnaf kusa gedola beba'ayazo. Namely, it's true that the Gemara is asking what does Sumchus hold about koach kocho, but you know, there would be a nafkamina as to what the Rabbanan held about koach kocho. The mitoch ba'ayazo mashma. The pshitale, again, this is the Rosh's understanding, the koach kocho, kekocho dami, that without any halacha Moshe Misinai, we would have said the koach kocho, certainly pays nezek shalem, l'kulei alma, and therefore rabbanan. Mishalim al koach kocho. Since they have the halacha Moshe Misinei, their kocho goes down to chatzin nezek. So according to Rabban, koach kocho would be chatzin nezek kamo al kocho. Umiboy leisumchus gamar hilchos adetzoros lekoach kocho lechatzin nezek kamo leRabbanan kocho. Odim alo gamar hilchos aklal af al koach kocho. And therefore, if there's no halacha, so af al koach kocho mishalim nezek shalem. Avolomi boile igamar hilchasa umukile bekoach kocho lechayev chatzi nezek, va'afal gavdamin hadin patur, the koach kocho lav kegufo dami. And what Tosa says, that other option that we mentioned, that without a halacha Moshe Misinai, maybe koach kocho would be patur, and that the halacha Moshe Misinai would raise it from patur to chatzi nezek, that, says Tosfos, is not an option. Debaha lechal listapuke. It's obviously not a question. The pshita, because the Rush has an assumption, the hilchasa legruei tashlumin asa velo lechaye v'makam sheroi liftor. That halacha Moshe Misinai pulls things down. It doesn't bring things up. It doesn't create chiyuvim in a place of a ptur. And the umishim hachi, previously, when the Gemara said lo, the kule, in other words, lo ka'ama, the Gemara didn't raise an option that kule alma kocho lav kagufo dame v'chatzi nezek tro silchos agimirilei, to bring it up from zero to chatzi nezek, become the pshitale, the hilchos alegrua asa. Where did the Rush come up with this assumption that halacha Moshe Misinai is always pulled down rather than pull up? Kedamrin and gabe sukkah. Asa hilchasa, that we have shnayim ki hilchasan, but we have halacha Moshe Misinai, that shlishis afilu tefach, ugrate l'shlishis, uvukimna a tefach. V'karav linyan hazeh matzati v'raz ha-levi in the Baal HaMor, b'shmaisis in the kelav natal charara, lo piresh tosfos kema. Tosfos disagrees with me. So firstly, before we see what Tosa says, did you have a chance to look over there in the Gemara in Sukkah? Is the assumption of the Rush watertight, that we see from that Gemara that halacha Moshe Misinai pulls down and doesn't pull up?
Is it
100%. In other words, the Rush is quoting one line of the Gemara, but if you just go down two more lines, the Gemara raises that option. Namely, the Gemara points out that we have a machlokes tanoim, tana rabbanan, shnayim ki ochasan shlishis afilu tefach. That's the shita of rabbanan, that's where we paskin. Rabbi Shimon omer, shalosh ki ochasan urevius afilu tefach. That we have to add another dofen. The Gemara asks, maika miflige, the Gemara offers a whole number of options. What is the machlokes? One of the options the Gemara mentions, that iboy esema kulei alma yesh em lamasorit. The question is, when we have the word sukkot written without a vav, do we read it as a single sukkat, or do we read it yesh em lamasorit? We read it as sukkot, and then when you add them up, you know, how many do you get? Kulei alma yesh em lamasorit. V'hocha b'hai kamifidei. Mar savar ki asoi hilchasa l'gareya, mar savar ki asoi hilchasa l'hosif.
Right, but then that's even stronger for the Rush, because then the Gemara's machriya.
The Gemara is not necessarily machriya. The Gemara says, we paskin like Rabbanan, that shnayim ki hilchasan ushlishis afilu tefach. However, the first etza that was given was that according to Rabbanan, we would say yesh aim la. The first etza was b'maika miflige. Rabbanan savre yesh aim la masoret. Rabbi Shimon savre yesh aim la mikra. Rabbanan savre yesh aim la masoret. That we and therefore, since the masoret is written without a vav basukat, and then with the vav basukot, you add them up, you get to four. Dal chad legufe, so we're down to three. Pashalei tlasa shtaim kilchasan vasai hilchasa ugrata l'shlishis v'ukma tefach. Rabbi Shimon holds yesh em la mikra, and so it's as though it's written three times. basukot, basukot, basukot. You get to six, dalchad legufe, pashale arba, take off one of those and we're left with four. Shrosha kilchasan, asa yilchasa, vigaratal revius, vukma, atefach. That's what the Rosh is quoting. But then the Gemara says, vi'i bo yesema, kule yama yeshem la mikra, vahacha bahacha miflige, marsavar skacha baikra, marsavar skacha lo baikra. I bo yesema, kule yama yeshem la masore, hacha bahacha miflige, marsavar se hilchasa la gareya, marsavar se hilchasa la hosif. I bo yesema, kule yama ki aso hilchasa la gareya, V'yesh em la'masoret, hacha b'dorshin t'chilos k'mifligei. Marsav ha'dorshin t'chilos, marsav ha'lo'dorshin t'chilos. That's the sugya. The sugya is not machriya, which of these explanations is the valid explanation. It appears that all of these are options. The Gemara doesn't say, no, halcha Moshe Mesinai is never lahosif.
Right, but the point is, I think the Rosh's point is, the fact that the Gemara considers it an option means that the Rosh is right. Because we're going to hold the Rabbanon either, no matter what was going to hold the Rabbanon?
Right.
So if this is an option, then the Rabbanon's approach to this is the correct approach. Then it's...
Okay, but in other words, but the language of the Rosh is the Pshitale, the Hilchasa Griusa Askina. In other words, or it was... The Pshita, the Hilchasa Grua Tashlumin Asa. So you're saying that's what we paskin, but it could very well be that there's a Tana who holds otherwise. We're dealing over here within Sumchus, in other words, that this is not a meaningful. Okay, Echshaloiya, that's a technical matter, but assuming that there is another option, Kanera that Tosfos felt that the two options exist. Who is the Rishon who disagrees with Tosas? So when we look at that little Tosas on Daf Kaf Beis Amad Aleph, we're dealing with the Kelev Shenatal Charara, and the Gemara points out that we have two stages. We have the stage of the Makom that the Gachelet fell on, and the rest of the Godish. And the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Anuche Ancha, we're dealing with a situation, according to Rav Yochanan, that the Kelev placed it on a certain place, and then on that place, according to Rav Yochanan, you pay Nezek Shalem. And on the rest of the Gadish, that's already Kocho, so you pay Chatzi Nezek. So Tosa says, Loboi Lememar Ba'adhe Aduye. The Gemara doesn't offer the option for Rav Yochanan like it did for Rish Lakish, that the Caliph threw it onto a certain place. Va'al Kol HaGadish Chatzi Nezek. And then we'd say that where it was thrown, that would be Nezek Shalem, and the rest of the Gadish Chatzi Nezek. Why? The I Koach Kocho Lavka Kocho Dame Havi Al Kol Shar HaGadish Patur. In other words, that to distinguish and say that you would have the spot itself would be considered to be Kocho, and the rest of it would be Koach Kocho, and you would still have Tashlumin. Not necessarily, because that's a suffix of Rav Ashi, whether koach kocho kakocho dami. Namely, that Tosas understood that suffix of Rav Ashi not only had relevance to Sumchus, it had relevance to Rabbanon as well. That it's not obvious that koach kocho is kakocho, that there is an option in the Gemara that koach kocho, according to the Rabbanon, is patur. The Gra takes it one step further and says not only is this an issue that Tosas raises as a suffix, but the Rambam actually paskins that koach kocho lav kakocho dami, which Rambam is the Gra referring to, nira be'enai v'chein pasak ha Rambam, as opposed to the Rosh b'siman beis cholek. So I photostated for you the Rambam that I think that the Gra is relating to, because at least this is the way the Kesef Mishnah learns the Gra on this sugya, right? Kelev shenatal et acharara. Let's look at the Rambam together in Perek Beis of Yitzayin. I'm sorry I didn't send you in the Mar Makamos. Kelev shenatal et acharara v'holach lo l'gadish im hinicha v'gadish. Again, this is Rav Yochanan. That if he puts it down on a certain place, and v'achal es achala, and so he's chayev nezek shalem on the chala for shed, and where he put down the charara that had a gachelet hidlik es ha'gadish, okay? So we have over here on the chala, there's shein. On the mokam acharara, that is regel. That's, in other words, that's gufeh, that the kelev is putting it down over there. Va'al shar hagodish chatzi nesek. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan paskins, because that already is kocho. And we paskin like Rabbanan, that this is tsoros. So on the mokam acharara, you pay nesek shalem. That's classic regel, that's guf. And the rest of the gadish, that's koach of the kelev. That would be chatzi nezek. But then the Ram continues, im hayam migarir es hachala al hagadish v'holech v'soreif mishalem al hacharara nezek shalem, that's shame, al makom hagachelet, which is a bit larger, chatzi nezek v'al shar hagadish patur. What's going on over here? What is the Ravid says, Lessa, this doesn't make sense. Where do you get to a ptur? Even if you want to say that we have over here some shinui, but okay, so you have koach b'shinui, so we minimally you have, you, it's, that's a shayla in the Gemara. Yeh shinui litzaros, ein shinui litzaros. It's certainly not going to be pater. It'll minimally be Reva Nezek. Where do you get to a ptur? How do you get to over here a ptur? So the Kesef Mishnah suggests as follows. Kesef Mishnah says in the middle of the second line, Ela Mishah Rishon Alohi Niach, Ela Haya Megarer Vaholech Mairi, Vahainu Adi Aduye De Amor Bigamara. Ubedivri Ravena Mavur Kedivre Tosfos, Shekosvu, the Tosfos we just saw, Rav Yochanan, Beda Anach Anuche, Lomatsi Lomemar, Rav Yochanan, Beda Anach Anuche, Lomatsi Lomemar, Baadi Aduye, Valkol Hagodesh Chatzi Nezek, Di Koach Kocho, Lav Kokocho Dame, Havi Alkol Shar Hagodesh Patur, Ad Kan Lashano. In other words, that the Rambam over here is like Tosfos, but even taking it one step further, Tosfos has a suffix. The Rambam paskins over here that we would have a ptur. What's the adi adu? We're talking over here about being gorer simply. So my humble understanding is that according to the Kesef Mishnah, Misha Rishon Alohi Niach Elohaya Megarer Vaholech, that view it that the Kelev didn't put the Gachela down on one place, but rather he set it into motion. He set it into motion, like you have a Dli which is rolling. He set the Charara into motion. The Charara is now rolling down the Gadish. The spot on which the Charara is rolling down, that's Kocho. Like he threw it. In other words, but he didn't throw it in the air. He just set it into motion. But we already saw that setting something into motion can be viewed as Kocho. And the rest of the Godish is Koach Kocho. So on Kocho, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And on Koach Kocho, you pay Zilch. That this is, you know, this is what the Tosa suggested, but the Rambam actually paskins that way. Now, that's not the only way of reading the Rambam. In other words, but clearly that's the way the Kesef Mishnah learned the Rambam. The Misha Rishon Alohi Niach, he didn't just put it down on one spot. Elohaya Megarer Vaholeth, he set it into motion. V'hainu Adye Aduye Dama Gemara, Mainaf Gemina, if he threw it or if he rolled it. U'bedivir Rabbeinu Mavur, Kedivrei Tosos. Shekos V'Rav Yochanan, when does Rav Yochanan say that you pay nezek shalem on the spot in which you put it, and chatzin nezek on the rest? That's ba'anach hanuche. However, had it been a case of adi aduye, lamatzli memer adi aduye, v'al kol ha-gadish chatzin nezek, ki koach kocho, lav kekocho dami, v'al kol ha-gadish patur. So the Rambam brings that b'halacha. Im haya megarer es hachala al ha-gadish v'holek v'soref, meshalem al-charar nezek shalem. Al-makom ha-gacheles, where it's in motion, rolling down, that's kocho, that's chatzi nezek. Shar hagodesh, which is koach kocho, is patur. Again, clearly the Ravid did not learn the Rambam that way. The Ravid understood in the Rambam that hoya megarer v'holech, that's tsroros b'shinui. that putting it in that rolling motion is very, very unusual for dogs to play bowling. And so this dog, which is playing bowling on the Gaddish with the Charara, is a Tsraros B'Shinui. They're putting it down is a Shinui, and then the rest of the Gaddish is Tsraros B'Shinui, and so you'd never get to less than Reva Nezik. You would never get to a Ptur. But we do see over here, both within Tosos and in the option of the Kesef Mishnah, in the Rambam, an option that will say that according to Rabbanan, kocho kegufo, with the exception of halcha mashmi Sinai by regel, that there we have a din of tsreros chatzi nezik, but otherwise b'chala tarakula kocho kegufo. However, koach kocho is already patur, as opposed to the Rush, who said ma pitom. You know, it's that clearly. If we don't have any halacha mosh mi Sinai, so if gufo pays nezik shalem and kocho pays nezik shalem, then koach kocho pays nezik shalem. How over here will we get to such a polar machlokas about koach kocho? Whether, again, leaving aside the world of halacha mosh mi Sinai, have we had no halacha mosh mi Sinai, then we're going to have, according to the Rush, koach kocho is certainly nezik shalem. And according to Tosus and the Rambam, koach kocho would be pater. Yes? Yes?
According to the opinion that says that there would end up being a tour,
yes.
How would that read in the Gemara and the test? It seems to, like, the pashas of the Gemara is that when it says, oh, Dilma, like, that it's not, there's not a lot of that, then it would be,
oh, Dilma, lo gomir halacha klal. But what would be if lo gamir halacha klal?
No, I know, but that was going on when it wouldn't be. So then, if it wasn't, if there's no halacha l'moshe misina, then it would be equal to klal.
That's the question. In other words, how to read? In other words, the Rush reads it as you point out. Do we say that that gamir? Sorry, mi gamir halacha that umuki l'bekoach kocho. Does he have a halacha moshe misinai? And that will take koach kocho from nezek shalem down to chatzin nezek. Odilma lo gamir halacha klal, and then koach kocho would remain at nezek shalem. That's the way the Rush learns it. But Tosis points out, you could very, very well learn it, that the question is, koach kocho lesumchus kekocho dame, is it like kocho that it's nezek shalem? O lo, maybe koach kocho is patur. Mi gamir halacha umuki le b'koach kocho. Do we say that the halacha Moshe Misinai would take koach kocho from nothing and make it chatzin nezek? Odil ma lo gamir halacha klal, and it remains nothing. Maybe you could, in other words, the Gemara doesn't say what would be the din of koach kocho. In other words, so it could be, you could read it, and that's where the Rush learned it, that koach kocho would start off as nezek shalem, and halacha moshe misinai would take it down to chatzin nezek. But you could read it, koach kocho would be patur, that's our working assumption, that koach kocho is patur, and halacha moshe misinai would raise it from ptur up to chatzin nezek. The Rush says that second option doesn't get off the ground, because he has a rule, that koach kocho always lowers and never raises. We pointed out that that's not such a watertight rule. It may be, as Bineo pointed out, a rule according to Rabbanon in Sukkah, but there is also a day of Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara holds Rabbi Shimon may hold that we're going up rather than down. Yes.
The Ramah Pasuk is also like the Rush by Lovel, because Lovel is only a kula, not a chumah.
100%. No, the Rush is certainly a mainstream shita. What the Gra points out is that it's not like the Rush is the only show in town. That we have a suffix in Tosis and we have a psak of the Rambam. So it's, you have the Rush going in one direction, the Rambam in the opposite direction. And Tosis raising it, that you can go this way, you can go this way. You can learn in either direction. You can learn the Gemara in either way. You know, it's, according to Tosis, it's certainly an open option to say that Al-Kamosh and Sinai would take something from zero and move it up to a half. But what would be simply to try and conceptualize the machlokas? In other words, what Could you think of perhaps within the world that everyone agrees that kocho kegufo, that we could have over here two understandings of kocho kegufo, one of which would lend itself more to say that koach kocho is also kegufo, and the other would say, no, no, kocho kegufo, but koach kocho, that not. Yes?
Could it depend on what Rebbe raised in the past, what the chafa did?
100%. Again, that's what 100% means. That's what I would be happy to take that option. That we always have to ask ourselves, whenever we have a kaf hadimyon, do we have over here an equation or do we have a parallelism? Do we have over here an identity or do we have a point of mifgash where things meet, but we don't have necessarily an identity. If we say that kocho kegufo, namely that the same way that we view a person's hand as part of his guf, and we view his foot as part of his guf, so also we view his koach as part of his guf, that this is kocho kegufo, we have an identity, then it would make much more sense to continue with a koach kocho kegufo, namely that we have over here that whatever a person is responsible for setting into motion is going to be viewed as an extension of the person. There's no difference between a person killing with a knife or no difference whether he strangles an individual with his hands or he kills with a knife. Or he shoots someone, in other words, or he shoots an arrow. When you shoot an arrow, that's kocho. When you shoot, so then you press the trigger. You press the trigger, and that then, in other words, causes something to bang against gunpowder, and that causes the bullet to go out. You're dealing with koach kocho. In other words, that it's all one and the same. The person, you know, we don't view it any different halachically, whether the person strangled an individual, whether he shot him, whether he used a knife, an arrow, or a gun. Even though we're moving from guf to koach kocho in terms of conceptual definitions. It's all guf. But if we say no, that the moment that we move to the arrow, that's no longer gufo. That's no longer gufo. You could view strangling as guf. You could even view the knife as guf, as a yoda arichta. But the moment that you shoot something, even if we say isho, it's a mishum chitzav, that's kocho. That's something which is set aside from the person. Lahalacha, we're going to say the person is responsible for his koach, but it's no longer part of him. It's no longer the equivalent, it's no longer the identity. We don't no longer have the equation of equal. We have It's parallel. It's halachically, we have a point of intersection in terms of responsibility. Then already we can say, well, the moment that it's twice removed, then yitachen, we already have gone too far. Then already it's possible to say that one is pater. Okay? Again, the rush, takes the first approach, and as was pointed out, that's the mainstream shita, that gufo equal kocho, equal koach kocho, etc., that it's all one stream. But if we say no, that the moment that you shoot the arrow, that's no longer gufo. That's a separate identity called kocho, but the halacha, we're going to give it the status of gufo, then koach kocho is already an open question. So here we have a machlokes in the world of nezikin. What about the rest of kol haTorah kula? How do we view koach kocho? In other words, we would say, according to the Rush, everywhere, it should be obvious that koach kocho is kegufo. Is that the case? So I sent you to three Gemaras, in three totally different areas. I could have sent you to five Gemaras or eight Gemaras. In other words, that we have a world of murder. We have a world of yayin stam yenam, yayin nesach. In the world of murder, there is a concept of a rotzeach, doing a maaser retzach. If he does it b'mezid, there's a chi of misa. He does it b'shogeg, there's a chi of galus. And then we have the world of maga, of touching wine. And then we have the world of Shabbos, where we have Odin of Melechus Melcheves. What if in these three areas we have Koach Kocho instead of Kocho? In all of these areas, Kocho Kegufo. That's working. We have no Akamosh Misinai in any of that. That's a Din Regel, maybe. Right? But the other area is certainly Kocho Tegufo. What about Koach Kocho? So what did you see in the world of Galus? In the Mishnah, there is a machlokas between Andaf. Where was it? Heyam Buddhis. No, that there's a Mishnah. There's a machlokas Rebbe and Rabbanan. What's the halacha if you have an axe, you hit a tree with an axe, a splinter comes out of the tree and goes flying and kills someone. So we have a machlokas whether it clearly with no intent. It's clearly shogeg. Whether in that case there is golus or there is not golus. And the Gemara says, well, there they have a machlokes, but clearly everyone would agree that if you threw a rock at a date tree, at a palm tree, and it hit the branch and the dates fell down and they killed someone, that over there you would be chayav or you would be potter, in other words, that's the whole sugya over there. What's in other words, how did you understand over there within the sugya? What's the din of Koach Kocho? Okay, let's look at the Rambam, how he understood it. In Hilchos Rotzeach, Vav Tesvav, the end of the first line, Nishmat Harbarzo Mikito, a person is chopping wood and all of a sudden when he pulls back the hand, pulls back the what does he use to chop wood?
Dex.
Axe. Pulls back the axe. The axe head goes flying off and kills someone. Hareze gola. That's kocho. Nishmat harbarzo min ha'etz hamitbakeya eino gola. Neisha einze mi kocho, ela mi koach kocho. V'nimtza kamo ones, v'chein hazorek even l'tamar l'hapil hatmarim v'naflu men hatmarim al hatinok v'haragu. Pater, mipshehein ba'in mikoach kocho, v'chein kol kayotze b'zeh mishar hasibos. The Rambam understood that everyone agreed with the principles. The principle is that kocho is chayav, koach kocho is already patur. The question is, how do we view the case where a splinter comes out of a tree that you're hitting with an axe? Is that kocho or is that koach kocho? But the moment that it's clearly koach kocho, like the cases that are given over here, so then, certainly you're potter. Not certainly you're chayev. Certainly you're potter. The only issue that's dealt with by the Mefarshim of the Rambam is what does Rambam say over here? V'nimtza kmo ones. Right? That it appears not to be a din of koach kocho per se, but we know that within the world of golos, you're only chayev golos if it's shogeg. Not if it's onus. You know, it's a question of the person's the level of negligence that's involved. That every shogig has a degree of negligence, and in onus it's less of a negligence, which would seem to say that it's unique halacha in the world of galus. So what one could simply say is that it's well-known chakira, when we speak about ones rachmana patria, Reb Chaim has a chakira. Is it really just a din that, you know, where it's a lack of awareness, or does it move over to the fact that the moment that you are unaware, it's no longer considered to be your act? In other words, that it's as though it was no longer your act. That's a classic chakira, and they want to put that over here into the Rambam, where he says, Nimtza kmo ones. Kmo ones means that it's not no longer the act. But in any case, in other words, this is difficult according to the Rush. You know, the Rush takes for granted that lo yitachen, that there should be such a manda amar, that koach kocho yipater. Here we find that the Pashtus of the Gemara, which I just brought the Rambam because it's a little, you know, has it all in one line, as opposed to the Rambam, the Gemara assumes that koach kocho is pater. What about in the world of Stam Yenam? In other words, if instead of the goy touching the wine directly, let's say he touches it, you know, it's with kocho, what would be the halacha?
It's still
considered to be stam yenam. What if he touches it with koach kocho? namely that the Gemara deals with the fact you have a wine press and he turns a wheel, and that wheel then pushes a heavy log to squish the grapes. In other words, that he's not squishing the grapes directly, and he didn't directly throw the log onto the grapes. That would be kocho, but rather he turns a handle, and that moves the keresh. What does the Gemara say over there in Avodah Zarah? It's a machlokas, whether that's the ayin nesach or not. It's not clear. Whether, in other words, the Gemara doesn't take for granted that koach kocho is kokocho. Maybe even if it's kokocho, maybe it's drabanan, maybe it's only osur b'shtiya, not bahana. Namely, it's certainly not clear in that direction that you have over here kocho. What about in the world of Shabbos, where you are throwing something from rishus to rishus, right? Where if you carry from rishus to rishus, what's the halacha? You're chayiv. That's gufo. If you throw it from rishus to rishus, you're also chayiv. That's kocho. What if we have a case of koach kocho, going from rishus to rishus? What is Tosa say over there on Shabbos?
Potter.
So in galus, koach kocho is not kokocho. In the world of stam yenam, It's certainly not clear that koach kocho is kokocho. In the world of Shabbos, koach kocho is not kokocho. So why did the Rosh take for granted that in the world of Nezikin, koach kocho should be kai kocho? Is there a way of distinguishing between the world of Nezikin and Kol HaTorah Kula? Yeah, why?
Because every time I open my mouth, it's the same thing. Because again, it goes to where the chiyuv comes from.
Okay, so we can say two things. We can say what Benayahu is pointing out, that this goes back to our first shir. Why are you chayiv in the zikin? Do we say that the animal's act is like your act? And then, if in your world, koach kocho is kocho, so in the animal's world it should also be kocho, but if in your world koach kocho is not kocho, there's no reason why in the animal's world it should be kocho. Or do we say, no, that you're chayev for a lack of watching. You're chayev for pshia, that you have to watch your animal. And the question is, what should you expect your animal to do? And so we say that you have to watch your animal for things it would do with its guf. You have to watch your animal for things it would do with its koach. You have to watch your animal for things that it would do. But koach kocho, this is all part of the responsibility of an owner. It has nothing to do with whether koach kocho is the act of the animal or is not the act of the animal. The point is that there's damage which is being caused by your animal for which you're responsible. In Rishus HaRabim, we remove responsibilities because, you know, the animal, but in someone else's Rishus, this is something that your animal should not be there. And so, my nafkamina, whether your animal technically did a maisa or technically didn't do a maisa. In other words, that we have over here, or Rav Gustman has this huge article where he wants to distinguish between the koach kocho of a behema as opposed to koach kocho of a person. Maybe in the world of a person, koach kocho lavka kocho dami, but in the world of a behema, koach kocho kikocho dami, which is something to think about in terms of animal psychology or animal, you know, where it's... In other words, in terms of the fact that by a human being, one can distinguish in terms of how far removed it is from the person as to whether it is mice. In terms of the animal, that may be an irrelevant factor. If we set something into motion, some Rube Goldberg, it's contraption. So it can simply, that clearly we have a cause and effect, my nafgamina, if it's a direct cause and effect or an indirect cause and effect. But in any case, it's not davar pashut, okay, in terms of koach kocho. And then, of course, we have the issues, that are dealt with in the world that we spoke about. We had quoted the Tshuva of Rabelsky in terms of how do we view electric eyes. So all of this would also relate not just, as we spoke about the fact why in the world is electric eye considered to be kocho as opposed to gufo. But the moment that you bring in kocho, so then you'd have to already deal with the world of koach kocho. What then is being brought about by the electric eye, namely the, and then Yitzchak, that already would no longer be connected to the person. Yes?
Can I just explain what we spoke about in previous years about the difference between, like, if I dropping something versus if I throw it in the air and then it comes down. Can I just explain why there's a difference there?
We spoke about the fact that, in other words, there's a machlokas between the run and most Rishonim. How do we view gravity? Do we view gravity as a koach acher ma'uruf bo, or do we view gravity as simply a hemshech of the person? That the person was simply, in other words, taking advantage of the rules of physics. It's a world of teva. And that we spoke about. That was in the world of, you know, where it's Eish, Bor, etc. Or do we have something in addition to the person's action?
But that's different than if the Kela just dropped it on the top of the hill and it rolled down into the ditch.
That in other words, that there we dealt with the fact that someone threw something up in the air, then it sort of reached a point where it stopped, and then it came down. So the question is, do we view that coming down as the person, as continuity of the person's act, or do we view it the moment that there is any vector? Clearly, it's a continuity of the person's act. The question: if there's no vector, it just goes straight up and comes straight down. Do we view that as a continuity of the act or not? That's what we dealt with then. That's a separate issue. But clearly, the moment that you drop something, then that's a hemshech of your dropping it. You brought about what comes about from the dropping. It's not two directional. It's only one directional. Okay, so these are the hakiras over here in terms of this seemingly, as the Rush pointed out, well, you know, like why even learn this? This is sumchus. We're not into sumchus, yes?
We were discussing in the basic, we didn't really have a good handle on it. How do we distinguish between koach, koko, and gubama?
Firstly, there are books written about it, but Professor Lev, next door, Machon Lev, wrote a book called Koach Kocho V'Grama. Okay, that's the name of the book. In terms of elevators, so the world of Grama, as is dealt with in the Gemara, is not one world. It's a number of worlds. One world of Grama is if you burn a dollar bill. So what you did, you burned a piece of paper, but you caused a loss of a dollar to the owner of that piece of paper. The piece of paper was worth a penny, but we say that that we're dealing over here with a world of Grama. You know, where it's as opposed in terms of the value. There's another concept of Grama where you tie someone to the railroad tracks, and then the 12:15. You know, where it's a train comes hours later and runs over him, that you caused his death. You tie someone up in the desert, and eventually he dies of thirst. Or you toss someone into a pool, and eventually he doesn't have the koach to continue swimming. So those areas you're considered to be a rotzeach bigrama. Okay. None of those are considered to be in other words, the grama refers more to your indirect responsibility as opposed to whether this is considered to be your act. In other words, the fact that we say kocho kegufo and koach kocho kekocho, that this is viewed as the maisa of the adam. In the world of grama, we don't have the maisa of the adam. We have a totsa'ah, which is minutak, which is separated from the ma'isa. And the Shabbos clock, you know, it would be then working with this, a situation of grama. What the Rav pointed out is that anything that can be predicted 100% is no longer grama. Grama is only if you tie him to the railroad tracks, but the train doesn't always come. In the desert, you know, sometimes it rains. You know, that it's not necessarily 100%. The moment it's 100%, according to the Rav, that takes that out of grama, and therefore the Shabbos clock would not be considered to be grama. It would be considered to be a delayed maaseh.
Okay. So like these, like, I mean, I think most of us have exposure to grama through like these switches that someone makes for people who use wheelchairs and stuff like that. It seems like maybe.
So the Rav Devnin, in other words, it's not. Machon Somet views that as grama. But the Rav never viewed it as grama. In other words, the fact that something is going to happen the third time or the fourth time, as opposed to the first time, because of the way the circuits are set up. But the point is, it's always going to happen. You're never going to have a situation where you have a grama switch which is not going to work. In other words, it's always going to turn on the light. It's just the question is, well, I'll turn it on after a second plus a millisecond, a second plus 2 milliseconds, but it's going to turn on the light. That, according to the Rav, is not grama. Grama means where you have a delayed action that either will or will not happen. So then we can speak about it, but probably it'll happen. That already would, you know, words would be the world of grama, but not necessarily.
Similar to the distinction between Sikresha and Dosheim Skadim?
Very similar. I curve of Sikresha. Okay, that's it. The question is an excellent question. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara returns to the Mishnah. Hayesam eva'etes o hayutzraros minatsin v'hizika v'bi'uta. That lechora is a case of Karen. Otsraros k'or chayhu. I'm sorry. Hayesam eva'etes o hayutzraros minatsin mitachas regla. Hayesam eva'etes is a case of lechora of Karen. Tsuros minatsi mitachas regleha is a case of tsuros v'shavros akelim mishalim chatzin nezek. We pointed out, according to Rashi and Tosos, simply we have over here two cases of chatzin nezek: one of keren tam, and one of tsuros. Iboilu heichika amar hayesam eva'etes v'zika bebiuta otsuros kur chayu mishalim chatzin nezek. V'rabbanan, who should we read this Mishnah as we just read it a moment ago? According to Rabbanan, Odil mahayesam eva'etes v'zika bebiuta otsraros machmas biut. We're dealing with the world of shinu bitsraros. There, mishalim chatzin nezek ha ki urke mishalim nezek shalim imone sumchusu. And we should we learn our Mishnah like Rabbanan or like sumchusu? The eva'etes go on the seifa as well. Tashmami seifa. From the same Mishnah, Doras al Kli Yishvarto Nafal Hashever al Kli Acher Yishvaro, Rishon Meshalim Nezek Shalem, that's Gufo, Al Ha'achron Chatzin Nezek, that's Sroros, Yisumchus Mi Yisle Chatzin Nezek, V'chi Tema Rishon Lehataza, V'sheni Lehataza, V'sheni Le Yisumchus Ben Koach Le Koach Kolcho, we move back to the Abaya of Rav Ashi, so then, why should Rav Ashi have an Abaya? It's a Mishnah. So Lechora, we see that from the fact Rav Ashi had an Abaya, the Mishnah should not be learned like Subchus. Rav Ashi k'rabbanan mukila uboy lehachi ha'yesam eva'etes v'zika bebiuta otsroes kor chayu chatzin nezek ha'machmas biut revia nezek v'yeshinoi. Odil mahayesam eva'etes v'zika bebiuta otsroes machmas biut chatzin nezek ve'ein shinoi tegu. Namely, echshelo yeh, the Mishnah lends itself to be read in two ways. We can learn the Mishnah in two ways, either like Rabbanan or Sumchus, or even within Rabbanan, we can learn the Mishnah as the issue of shinoi letzoros, but we have no proof in the Mishnah to any direction. We can't prove how we paskin like Rabbanan or Sumchus, and we can't prove how we paskin in terms of shinoi letzoros. That this is... In other words, the Mishnah is not going to help us to answer the abayas that we've dealt with up to this point. So again, at this point, teku, right? In other words, this teku, according to the Meiri, in other words, takes us back to the very, very beginning. All the abayas that we've seen have one issue, according to the Meiri. How do we view the Av Mazik of Tzveros? Is it Keren or is it Regel? Nafkamina, do you pay me gufo or min ha'aliyah? Nafkamina, yeshinui or ein shinui? Nafkamina, yesh ha'ada or ein ha'ada? In other words, all of these are one question, and the answer to all of them is teku. According to the way we learned it with Rashi and Tosfos, we have over here questions as to what brings about every stage. Is it brought about by what? In other words, what brings about the chatzin nezek? Is the chatzin nezek brought about because it's dome to Karen, and so we're going to apply the dinim of Karen? Or do we say no? The av over here is regel. And we have Olcha Moshe Misiyanim, and we're going to compare it to the world of Regel. If we're going to compare it to Keren, then we'll get to Gufo, then we're going to get to Ha'ada, then we're going to get to an issue of Tzinui, of Shinui. If we're building off of Regel, so then, you know, all of these fall off. Actually, we have a teku on all of these questions. Boy Mineir of Abba Bar Mamal Mi Rabbi Ami, the Amaria Mi Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, the bottom line is teiku. What over here is the question of Rav Abba Bar Mamal? How many lashonos do we have in Rashi? Two, right? What? Two Lashonos in Rashi. One Lashon is Rashi. The question is, in this case, do you pay a half or a quarter? The other Lashon of Rashi, in this case, do you pay a whole or a half? Okay, so let's take each Lashon of Rashi. Do you pay a half or a quarter? L'chora, in other words, what would have been the halacha had it not been e-efsher? You know, simply, if you would have had a case, hayatam alechas v'makom, that... You know, you can be Matthews or not, and Menatezet u Ba'ata. So, in other words, do we say over here that you pay a quarter because how did this Tzoros come about? Via the Be'ita, which means Yeshinu Letzoros. In other words, do we say that over here we are assuming Yeshinu Letzoros and you pay a quarter? Or maybe because of e'efshar de belav hachi, we say it's not a shinui. It's classic tzoros. And classic tzoros, how much do you pay? A half. So the question is, do you pay over here a quarter or a half? That if we were to have a camera seeing the be'ita, if we take it in absentia, we have over here shinui letzoros. But if we see the context is e'efshar acheret. So maybe the context turns it back into Urchayu. That's the question of Rashi. Do you pay a half or a quarter? That's the first Lashon of Rashi. Lishna Achrina of Rashi. We're dealing over here with this animal as a serial kicker, right? We're dealing with the fourth time. This is the fourth time it happened that this animal broke something by kicking. And so do we say that, therefore, if it's the fourth time, you should now pay Nezek Shalem or Dilma Iyafshar Balav Hachi. There's no way that it cannot kick, and therefore, over here in this situation, this is not considered to be Ha'ada. This doesn't tell us anything about the nature of the animal. This is the nature of the pen that the animal is in. There's no reason over here to speak about Ha'ada, so rather than paying Nezek Shalem, we go down to paying a half. Okay? So according to Rashi, we have over here these two Lashonos. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rif understand over here very, very, very differently that the payment is, the question is, do you pay a half or a whole? Why would you pay a half?
Because it's regal.
Because it's Tzoros. Why would you pay a whole?
Because it's regal,
because
there's no way to avoid it.
Because Tzoros, Ur Chayu, pay a whole. So everyone yells at the Rebbeinu Chananel. We saw the footnote over here. What do you mean, Tzoros Kurechayu, Pei Nezek Shalem? Tzoros Kurechayu is Alcha Moshe Misinai of Chatzi Nezek. How do you get, in other words, according to Rebbeinu Chananel, how do you get to a payment of Nezek Shalem? There's no Ha'ada. This is a one-time offense, and it's Tzoros. So you could speak about a quarter, you could speak about a half. How do you get to a whole? So what do we see from over here? That according to Rebbeinu Chananel, this is Shita. When do we have a din that Tzoros pays Chatzi Nezek? Well, only when it's a regular sukbet, when it's irregular regal. It's not mashuna enough to be keren, but you need some aspect of shinui, and that's exactly the Ocha Moshe Misinai. The Ocha Moshe Misinai is, since we have a din that mashuna pays Chatzi Nezek, when you have a regal which is a little mashuna, you also pay Chatzi Nezek. That, you know, words that we have over here, a certain relationship between Chatzi Nezek Tzoros and Chatzi Nezek Shortam. That both of them share a certain irregularity. When the irregularity is extreme, that like a shore would gore, then you pay Chatzi Nezek. When we're dealing with something which is basically Urchayhu, but there is something which is not totally normal, normative, then we have Ocha Moshe Misinai that also pays Chatzi Nezek. But if it's totally normative, Iefshar Acheret, so then this is a Nezek Shalem, that there's no Ocha Moshe Misinai on Sroros Ke Urchayhu. Right? This is Rabbeinu Chananel, this is the Rif, and this is the Makar of their Shita. We saw echoes of their Shita in other places, but this is really the makar of their Shita. Beseder? You got further? You can continue or stop here?
No.
What?
I got a little further.
Okay, so let's continue. I mean, it's speaking for everyone. Okay. Boi minei, the Gemara then continues with another Abaya, Boi Mini Rav Yirmiya mi Rabbi Zeira. Hayisam Halechas Birishus Harabim, and here we have a word, U Ba'ata, which is in parentheses, which is not clear whether we should be reading it or should not be reading it, so we'll have to learn the Gemara reading it and not reading it. Hayisam Halechas Birishus Harabim, maybe U Ba'ata, Vhitiza Vhizika, Mahu. Lekeren madminan le v'chayeve. So Dilma told the deregel who u petura, because we're dealing within Rishus Harabim. Amar le mistabra told the deregel who, and therefore you are patur. Correct. That's okay. So let's take it in both directions. If we're not gores u ba'ata, so what then is our suffix? We just have a classic Tzroros in Rishus Harabim. And we're asking, Tzroros in Rishus Harabim, is it Chayav or is it Patur? Didn't we have this already at one time? Is this somewhat familiar to you? This is where, all the way back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, right? Where it's... Boi Rava, Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, Migufa Meshamin Aliyah Meshalem, La Rava Mi Boi Le Rapapa Pshitale, La Rava Mi Boi Le Amai Kari Le Tolda Deregel, you're paying Chatzi Nezek, and you're paying Migufa, why call it Tolda Deregel? Le Potra Birishus Harabim. Okay, so we've already seen, sometimes you have something which is Pashut to a Gemara on Daf Gimel Medeis, and then it'll be raised as a question over here, on Daf Yutet. So what over here would be the question? Is this, in other words, or what will this be similar to what questions? This is the whole slew of questions that we've seen up to now. In other words, do you pay Migufo? Do you pay Min Ha'aliyah? Yeshini Litzoros, Yeshini Litzoros, Yeshad Litzoros, Yeshad Litzoros. The same language of the Gemara. Lekeren Madminan Le, because we have over here a payment of Chatzi Nezek, or do we view the Av, v'chule. And that's the way, l'chora, that most Rishonim learned. However, if we're gores ubata, right? In other words, so that, in other words, so again, this is, in other words, without the word ubata, fits in very nicely according to Rabbeinu Hananel, according to Rashi, according to the Raivid on the Rambam, etc., etc. If we're gores ubata, then we have over here what case? The case of tsroros with shinui, correct? And so what now is the abaya?
Obviously, right, if it's both Soros and Karen in Rosh Hashanah, then which one, or do we take the Kula that it's Regal Rosh Hashanah, or do we say, no, it's Karen Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we have to pay?
Okay, but in other words, then this is a classic case of Yeshini Litzroros. What have we said up to now about Yeshini Litzroros? Teku. We've left it as Teku. And over here, the Gemara paskins that ain't Shini Litzroros. Correct? This is where we're going to move. We'll stop at this point. This is where we're going to move into the Rambam. This is a question of the Raivan on the Rambam. In other words, how did he learn the Sugya? Simply, how did he read the Sugya? How do you have a Gemara that just a moment ago said teku? On all of these questions that we've dealt with up to now, we've had a teku. They've all been left as an abai. We haven't been able to prove anything. And all of a sudden, Rav Yirmei asks Rav Zeira, well, what's the halacha about shinui and tsroros? And he says it's obvious that, you know, where it's ain't shinui litzroros. That we say that we're going to view it as tolda deregel and has nothing and therefore, you know, where it's is going to be patur birishus harabim. Okay, so we'll from this point we'll move on to next time in terms of looking at the Raivids and the Rambams, the whole series of Raivids and Rambams. Okay. Ms. Seder, I'll give you a continuity of Marma Kamas in this session.